We understand that most dads feel undervalued and misunderstood. The goal is for you to be encouraged through real conversations about the value of fatherhood in different stages of life. If you have young kids, you know the fatigue of parenting. In this episode, we address the value of knowing your limits. Welcome to the world's biggest small group facing fatherhood. And I'm Pastor Chad, joined today with my friend Carter from KSBJ. Carter, welcome. And why don't you tell us a little bit what qualifies you to be a father?
The grace of God, Chad. The grace of God. Just having a young child in my home and me being one of the two main caretakers, I guess, is the bare minimum of that. But my wife and I, we have Ezra. He's almost three. And just goofiest, laughiest kid. He pushes buttons like any other kid does, but we just wouldn't change a thing about him. And it's been a fun ride. It's some parts have been different than I thought. Some parts I came into it with full expectation of some of my friends that were dads before me. And it's hard. It's the days are long, but the years are short.
Well, tell me, what was different about it that maybe your biggest surprise about being a dad, or kind of take us through that? You have kind of 3 years, maybe something different for each year. I don't know what has been the biggest thing in your life.
I guess, if you put it that way of different thing for each year, I can think of two main ones. I'm trying to think of a third one, but the baby stage is you just get through it, right? I like it and hate it. When people give young couples that are either pregnant or trying to have kids, that fear, just wait till newborn stage. You're not going to sleep ever again. Like I like the realness to some degree, but I also think it's overblown and you just get through it. You just do it. Like it just starts and you don't know what you're doing and you leave the hospital and then it just 6 weeks go by and you're starting to get at least more sleep generally. And I was telling somebody the other day, we have some friends that, they have a newborn, and it's just like, once you can get 4 hours of sleep again, you feel at least like a sane person. You're exhausted, but you feel like a sane person. Some of my thoughts didn't make sense. In fact, one of my favorite stories is we were moving at the time in the newborn stage. My son was probably 4 weeks old and we needed to do the home inspection. We needed to get cash, or we needed to get a cashier's check for the home inspector. And my wife said, okay, go to Capital One, take care of it. I'm like, okay, great. We just had our kid. We're about to move into this house. I go and I go through the drive-through with probably my afternoon coffee, and I give them my ID and I give them my card, my Capital One card. And I go, I need a cashier's check for this much. And they come back and they say, do you have an account here? And I'm just like, unbelievable, just unbelievable. What is your deal? Yes, I have an account here. And I was nice, but inside I was fuming. And they came back and they said, we can do cash. And I said, I guess that'll work. So I go back to my wife. They did the weirdest thing. They wouldn't give me a cashier's check. They didn't think I had an account. So weird. And she goes, well, which one did you go to? And I told her the location. And she goes, that's a Chase Bank. That's not a Capital One. I did the whole transaction without realizing I'm in the wrong spot, right? You're that tired. But you do get through it. And then the other thing that I just did not expect is it's like one of those things I think slips through the cracks. Nobody really tells you of how much, especially before they're 3, 4 years old. And my son's, about to turn three, how much they demand your attention. It's not just making sure they're taken care of and that they don't get themselves into trouble. But I mean, like, you're just trying to sit there for a second and he's like, daddy be a dinosaur? And I'm like, yeah, we'll do the dinosaur for the 17th time today. I love it. I was really needing like a mental break, but sure. Like there's not as much independent play, I guess, from when I remember being a kid, but at the same time, you don't remember being 2 years old necessarily. You remember when you're like six or seven. And so it's just that constant you are on until they're asleep.
Yeah. A couple things you said, like, just triggered me. Number one was when we came home with a hospital with our first kid and it's in the car seat only because like the nurses and everyone kind of helped pack that thing up. But then we got home and we just like, I remember setting the car seat down and we like just like
scooted back and like, what do we do with this thing now? We read the books and we all these things, but now like they let us take this thing home and I don't know what to do. So we just like let her sleep in the car seat. We're like, she's good. She's not crying. Like, let's just chill for 1 second because we didn't know what to do. But then, yeah, then they start moving around and then they do not stop. I don't know. I think, you know, you see that energy and you wish for it as the older that you get. But at the same time, it is just you see this creativity, you see this growth in their life. And so for parents who are parenting young kids, this verse just rings in my mind all the time. Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And you're going to grow weary because you're tired. But at the same time, just being reminded that right now, that there's a purpose to it. And I will say on this side of it, if I had advice also for young parents, it's, I wish I would have taken more time to do what you said, Carter, like to play dinosaurs, to sit on the floor, because I was really busy. I was a pastor at the time. I was a church planter and I was always going. So like, what are the things that you're doing right now to be able to just live in that moment with your kids?
One is, unfortunately some things have taken a back seat right now. And, you know, I wish I could get to the gym more, for example. And that's not necessarily the best thing to choose because I certainly have enough time for social media apparently. And I'm so glad that just the way my schedule is, I'm off, you know, around noon by 1 o'clock, usually at least. And then he's at his nap and then we just get the rest of the day together. We get from 3:30 to 7:30, you know, 3:30 to 8, whatever it turns into. And so I'm very blessed in that, in just the schedule part of that. And I guess one thing that's helped drive me is he's going to be in school. Well, he already is in school to some degree, like Mother's Day out type of thing twice a week, but he's going to be in school all day here in the next, you know, what is it, 3 to 5 years, you know, and I just want to make sure that you only get the stage once. And I want to take full advantage of that. And one thing is just also to like you said, you don't want to get to the stage in life where you're like, man, I wish I would have done that more. To some degree, I think we're always going to say that.
Yeah.
And when people tell me, cause it's true and I already see it, but people tell me it goes fast. And it's like, I agree, but I also know in the midst of some of those days, I did need a mental break. And just even last night, my wife had to take over for 30 minutes. I usually kind of do bath and get ready for bedtime. And honestly, it was just driving me nuts. And so I just needed a few minutes to breathe and she took over. And so obviously that's, you know, everybody's in a bit of a different situation and certainly blessed that she can do that and take over. But I know that I guess it's just going to be, I think if you're a good parent, a loving parent, you're going to get to the end of your life and go, man, I wish I would have hung out with him more anyway.
Yeah.
And so just try to also remember that you, in general, I know this can't be a universal statement because, there are families that don't have parents that will step up necessarily. But if you're watching this, you know, more than likely you're a person that's dedicated to just trying to be the best parent you are and let that sink in that you're trying to be the best parent that you are and that you can take rest. You can take solace that you did the best that you could or are doing the best that you can if they're still in the home. And that you just leave the rest to God and you know that some of those moments for your sanity and theirs that you needed a moment.
That was such a good word though, that you just had there that, and maybe it's not a word. It was just, it's your real life that you said, I was at a point where I actually just needed a break. And so in order to be your best parent, to be the best dad you could be, you actually stepped aside and took a break. Can we dig into that a little bit? Like what are the triggers? And then what do you do with that break time? Like, is that like I go for a walk or what does that look like? I have to just get out of the house. Tell me a little bit more about what that looks like.
Well, pull my old scrolls from the Torah and I reflect. No, I wish it was something spiritual or more spiritual, but it's like if I'm going to just sit here and snap at him when, you know, he's learning to potty train. So it was kind of in that realm. And it's, so it's not really his fault necessarily. And it's just like, I don't want to explode on him for no reason. And I did snap at him once because he was disobeying, but it's like in most days I probably would have been like, I told you don't do that. But last night it was like, hey, What'd I say? You know, it was that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to ever betray that innocence of where he's like, why is dad being such a jerk? Or why is he yelling at me for no reason? And I think we're, especially as they get older, I think we're going to have those moments regardless. But if I can catch it and go, mom's been off duty for a while. She's got more patience than I do right now. Let me, yes, go literally catch my breath. Let me just sit on the couch for a minute. You know, I've caught myself even looking at pictures of him, you know, and it's just like, ah, I love this kid. Like, you can't stay mad. I think that's part of it. If you can't stay mad, then all you need is a few moments to get back to just being there and playing with him again.
I mean, that's good probably in a lot of circumstances, not just parenting, that if we're feeling aggravated at work, we just probably need to step away for a little bit, regain posture, but most of all with our kids. And I have found, someone shared this with me and I still find it very difficult, but, and you're on the radio. So you have to be on, like you are on, people are listening to you and we give the best version of ourselves sometimes when we're at work. What is the way that we're able to also come home and give the best version of ourselves to our kids, do you think?
Well, I think the main thing, and I do it well for a few minutes. And I think it is good for them to do this, but if I could extend that or do it more often, it's get off my stinking phone, man. Whether it's work or whether it's not, just get off my phone for an uninterrupted 15 or 20 minutes. Do that multiple times a day. Go check it occasionally if you need, especially if you're on call or something. If you're on call, maybe you just have to have it on and just there. But I certainly don't need to scroll things that are unnecessary for that time. And it's tough because I'm the type of person, I want to get it all done so that at the end of the night, I can really just relax and go, all right, this day is done. I don't have to get back to an email or anything else. But especially like we talked about that time frame, that this isn't forever.
Yeah.
Could I at least like, even if it's like teenagers, like, oh, like you're having to also peel them from the screen.
Yeah.
And go, let's spend 30 minutes uninterrupted together. And that might even be technology. Maybe that's watching a show together, but like the good old days where you'd watch and then there's commercials and then you talk about it and then you'd guess the ending, like at least some sort of bonding, even with technology, but at the very least, getting fresh air outside, getting ice cream together, talking about, maybe this is even, my pastor said, this is at dinner that when his boys, you know, before they were in college, they would just talk about what God either taught them that day or a verse or just something very general, but in that playing field where he goes, and listen, it didn't go somewhere every night. It might have gone nowhere, right? It might have been like, well, I heard, you know, Romans today. And then that was it. But at least having that opportunity and that tradition built in where it has the opportunity to go somewhere and lead to such a bonding and even more important, a spiritual moment.
You hit such a nerve there, though, right now. Personally, like my church is in the middle of a digital detox for this very reason, saying like our phones have infiltrated our lives. And so it's not just about spending time with our kids, like being in the same room or proximity, but like, are we actually engaging one another? Like you said, are we having conversation? Because I could be in the room with a 2 or 3 year old and on my phone, and sure, I get points, I guess, for being in the room, but there's no relational things because we're not communicating. We're not doing anything together. So are we able just to break free of that for a while? And maybe it is like, and what I've learned through the detox is, what parameters can I set up for myself? Do I really need to, something as simple, do we need to have our phones at the dinner table, or can that be a phone-free zone, or are there phone-free zone times of the day? Like, hey, from 5 to 6 or 5 to 8, well, like before the kids go to bed, like I'm going to make sure like I'm not on my phone at all, so I could be totally present with them. And when they go to bed at 8 o'clock, I guess I could scroll all I want, but I probably shouldn't then because I need to be present for my wife at that time or whatever it may be. So at the end of the day, what you're saying, though, is like presence isn't just proximity. Presence is being engaged in what they're thinking.
I think it comes down to this. And I think one on anything that you said, you know, if you're listening and caught that and thought, okay, that thing could work for me, or maybe it's not exactly at dinner, but it's something. I think do what works for you in that regard. But it may even be this simple: shared experience. Think about those words and It's doing something together. And like I said, if that's technology or if that's where my son's at, me using my imagination and getting down on the ground with them, getting into the same, doing the same thing together. And if we can do that even for 30 minutes or an hour a day, we're doing something that most people won't.
Yeah. But I do know the truth of the scripture. And just so we could kind of close with this thought, Psalm 78 verse 4 says this: we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. And this is what I love about this. Talking to our kids about the good things about God. Do we ever just say, man, God is so great because of this, or God is so great because of this? And just being able to praise him with our kids, I just think there's such an opportunity there to not make God this textbook or this theology, but to make God like, no, he's really great and worthy of our praise. And here's why.
I do love what this pastor shared at our church once. He said, if Peter and Paul and John and all these guys that wrote the Bible, the New Testament, if they were around today, do you think they would just be sitting around rereading what they already wrote? Or would they be living and seeking and mentoring more? And it led him into that space of, my quiet time should not be a thing to just check off. And so when it comes to your family, he actually specifically said this. He goes, I just wake up and I just, like, God has told me before, you know what your quiet time is today? Thanking me for the beauty, because I want you to take your family to the beach. And I want you to bond together and live together.
Yeah.
And certainly, like I said, I don't think that's every day. I think, you know, lessons and walking through scripture is important, especially as they get older. But man, to just think that way of, what's God's even plan for me today?
Yeah.
And really digging into that can be a life changer.
Don't stop your journey here. Check out the accompanying World's Biggest Small Group Study. Text the word GROW, that's GROW, to 67101.